Self-disclosure, a vulnerability or a strength, from Kishore Chandiramani. You may have come across people who are quite open about their problems and happily share their health issues and other problems. However, the majority of us don't feel comfortable doing so unless the situation demands, and it would be foolish to keep hiding. Which of these two approaches do you think would be wiser? At times, one feels that one owes it to their immediate family and close friends, and not doing so can be seen as a betrayal if they come to know of the problems from someone else. It's better coming from us directly rather than somebody else. When someone does this to us, we feel grateful and appreciative of the other person going through the pain and discomfort for our sake. A good conversationalist always starts with a bit of self-disclosure. I remember when speaking to an uncle of mine, he would start with talking about what he has been doing and what he is planning to do, and he will also talk about his family without me asking for them, and the conversation becomes very smooth and free-flowing. This results in me disclosing bits about my life during the conversation. It becomes a very friendly and trusting conversation. He knows the limits of confidentiality and has very rarely shared any details of his family that could make them uncomfortable. He doesn't share any details of his family that they themselves would not have shared with me. As opposed to this, I had an aunt, and when speaking to someone, she would lose awareness of the boundaries of confidentiality and will announce very personal details of her children and grandchildren that they themselves would have never disclosed. As a result, her own family members will not share their personal issues in front of her, as if telling her anything would be like announcing it to the entire world on the internet. Contrary to this attitude, I had a friend who is a very private person, and whenever I ring him asking how he is, he would say, "Everything is fine." When I specifically ask him about his children, he would say they are doing all right, even though they had some serious issues. When asked about his job, he would say it's fine. With him, the conversation is always at risk of ending abruptly. However, I keep the conversation going by self-disclosure. I start talking about what I have been doing in the last few days and what I'm going to do in future, and share other details, that is, the films I have seen and how good they were. I also ask for his opinion on the headlines in the newspaper. Despite this prodding, the conversation remains brief and I feel unsatisfied and feel as though I was talking to a stranger and not a close friend. I understand this as his reluctance to share things specifically with me, but he avoids self-disclosure with all his relatives and friends. I'm not sure what to make of this level of secrecy, and how can one develop a close relationship with him? One might think that disclosing personal details can make you feel vulnerable. However, allowing yourself to feel vulnerable by way of self-disclosure can also be seen as a sign of strength rather than weakness, if it is done in a planned manner with a clear objective of helping the other person or nurturing a relationship or doing what is expected of you in a given situation. We find that people sometimes hesitate in asking questions related to the information they would like to have, whereas some elderly people more so in Indian setting, don't hesitate in asking those questions such as, how much do you earn? Why don't you plan a family or get married to your long-term boyfriend? These are the questions even youngsters would also be interested in asking, but they don't. However, they would pay keen attention if somebody were bold enough in asking those questions in front of them. It seems to me to be a good practice to volunteer this information if you think the other person would be interested in knowing and that the relationship is such that you owe it to the other person to disclose this information. Now, let us examine why some people are unnecessarily secretive and they divulge information only on a need-to-know basis. First, secretiveness can be seen as a sign of low self-esteem, that after hearing what I have just said, the other person will see me in a negative way. Second, these are the people who want to be in control, and by controlling the information, they think they can control the situation. Third, they can control others if they have information about them. But others can't control them if they don't have such information about them. It's very much like some individuals who want to sit in a restaurant with their backs against the wall and facing the whole crowd in front of them so that they can see everybody else, but others can't see them or get behind them and cause discomfort. Fourth, to stop people from controlling them, teens choose what they want to tell their parents, thus limiting their parents' control over their activities. Or it could be that they already know what the parent is going to say, and it will lead to an argument. Fifth, they feel vulnerable, that if the information is out, it can be abused by the other person or can be used against them. Sixth, they feel paranoid that others will make use of this information to harm them. Sixth, for some, it may just be a personality trait described as he is a very private person. They themselves don't know why they are not being open with others. Perhaps they have not learnt it from their parents. It's related to not having an opportunity to see people disclosing to others and be open, rather than having any motives for not being open. Seventh, it may also be that by not disclosing your positives, you are protecting the other person from envy or greed. You know that if you share this information, the other person will become jealous of you without seeing the full picture, that is, becoming aware of your negative points as well. As a result, you downplay your achievements. However, if you think that discussing your successes with the other person is likely to make the other person happier, then that's what one should do. Normally, this applies to sharing good news about yourself with your parents and members of your family, who you know for certain will be happy with your progress in life. Ninth, you don't disclose your problems to others as you want to protect them from the burdens that they might feel because of listening to your worries. This happens when grown-up children don't want to burden their parents with their own worries and tell lies about their life stresses. This can create trust issues within a relationship. If you ask the parent if they would like to listen to their children's worries or not, I'm sure the majority will opt for the first option. At times, things get even more complicated when parents know that the child or a grown-up child will not disclose their worries to them, and they start making all sorts of assumptions and end up worrying more. According to Girard, a Canadian psychologist, disclosure is important in any relationship as it fosters openness, healthy relationships, and an enthusiasm to grow within the personal and social sphere. Girard originated the idea of reciprocity of self-disclosure, that disclosure begets disclosure. He even went further to suggest that failure to disclosure can result in illness, and that women live longer because they disclose more. There is some research evidence to suggest that people who, after being diagnosed with malignancies, are more open in discussing their illness with family members and friends report better outcome. And those who talk about their illnesses and bereavements with friends are better able to cope with the stresses. Rosenfield has said that generally, males avoid self-disclosure to maintain control over their relationships, whereas females avoid self-disclosure to avoid personal hurt and problems with their interpersonal relationships. Girls disclose more than boys, and self-disclosure increases with age during adolescence for both genders. Teenagers feel more comfortable disclosing to their mothers than to their fathers, even though they have incredibly supportive fathers. In loving relationships, there is a fulfillment that comes with the feeling that the other person has been 100% honest with me, and the reciprocity demands that you also be 100% honest with the other person. Those of us who can achieve that level of honesty and self-disclosure, even with one or two persons, have reported high levels of life satisfaction. Self-disclosure is a method of creating new intimacies and building trust, which is the bedrock of relationships and their maintenance. In a study by Laurenceau and colleagues, it was found that the actual disclosures in the process of self-disclosure may not be the only factors that facilitate intimacy in relationships. Husband's intimacy was most strongly predicted by self-disclosure, while perceived responsiveness to disclosure was the stronger predictor of a wife's feelings of intimacy with her husband. A different study found evidence of wives' perceptions of their husband's self-disclosures as being a strong predictor of how long a couple will stay together. Those who think that their husbands are not sharing enough are likely to break up sooner. This finding links to the idea of positive illusions in relationship studies. For husbands, the actual act of self-disclosure is more indicative of their feelings of intimacy with their wives. On the other hand, wives are thought to value more the feeling of being understood and validated by their husband's responsiveness to their disclosures. And this is the more important factor in their feelings of intimacy in their marriage. Now, looking at the other factors that influence self-disclosure. First, mood. Those in a positive frame of mind disclose more intimately than those in a negative mood. This may be because of informational effects, whereby happy people tend to access more positive information, which leads them to behave in a more positive, optimistic and confident manner. Unhappy people, on the other hand, tend to access more negative information, which increases the likelihood of caution, pessimism, and restrained communications. Now, looking at the factors in the other person, certain people are more likely to get others to disclose. These are called high openers. Such people are good listeners, empathic, relaxed, trustworthy, non-judgmental, friendly, etc. And they ask open questions. On the other hand, the following factors could be the detriments for someone to disclose. The other person is uninterested, distracted, judgmental, doesn't take others seriously, and doesn't keep disclosures confidential. Thank you. This audio was brought to you from the Emotions Clinic Education and Training Center, Stoke-on-Trent, England.